We're joined now by former U.S. Forest Service employee Brian Stout. He was supervisor of the Bridger-Teton National Forest from 1984 to 1994 and held various other positions in the Forest Service for the 24 years preceding that. Stout recently published a book called Trees of Life, Our Forests in Peril. He says he wrote the book because he feels that the current way of managing forests is misguided.
I see the forests, and I believe they exist in a much more detailed manner than what science has given them credit for. In other words, when I look at a mountainside, I don't see just a forest. I see a whole mosaic of individual communities. And I believe that is critical if we are going to properly manage our forests in the future. I also am concerned that major reductions have occurred in the amount of acres being treated over the last 20 to 25 years on the national forests, as a result of influence from various interest groups outside the Forest Service. And the results are that today we're experiencing more and more catastrophic events, such as extremely large wildfires in the West, the Rocky Mountain pine beetle epidemic that is prevalent throughout the Rocky Mountains. Those catastrophic events have got to be managed in some way, and the only thing available to us, as I see it, is proper management and maximizing diversity of the various forest communities.
So what are we doing wrong with management today?
Well, I think that academically we have developed the science and the knowledge of science almost beyond what 50 years ago would have been considered science fiction, but what's lacking is this understanding and ability to observe and see this complexity of nature, the complexity of the makeup of the forests, and then tie that to the science of forestry, the technology.
Now, you write that one of the main goals of the Forest Service seems to be extracting natural resources, whether that's logging or other kinds of resource extraction, rather than focusing on promoting healthy forests. Can you give us an example of something that you experienced or witnessed during your time in the Forest Service that kind of illustrates that?
Certainly. First of all, the concept of forest management since the 1890s and defined by Gifford Pinchot is called conservation, and it stands and means wise utilization, and the concept being that if we don't harvest more than we're growing, we can maintain a sustained yield for generations to come. But the focus has been on managing the resources from the forest. I read through almost every catalog of every major academic institution in the United States that teaches a curriculum in forest land management, and they define their program as training students to manage the natural resources from the forest. I can remember as a young forester within the Department of Agriculture that my job standard was basically describing what I needed to do in terms of meeting the outputs, the number of board feet of timber to be harvested, the number of grazing units to be produced. In other words, the expectations that leadership had of me as an employee was the production of goods and services, not the quality of management that was needed to maintain these healthy, vigorous forests.
What about later on when you were, say, managing the Bridger-Teton National Forest? Didn't you have more latitude to manage things as you saw fit at that point?
Well, I still work for the organization. We still had our own cultural values even within our organization. It was a very proud organization at the time, and I had a very rewarding career, but I was haunted by the fact that something was missing, and it was this detailed understanding of nature that was missing. And yes, I had some latitude and tried to influence the way things were being managed, but it's very difficult to write job standards and convey to employees the importance of the quality of management. It's much easier to measure things that are easily defined, such as did you meet your assigned targets, did you live within your budget, did you produce the reports in a timely manner, and that tended still, even throughout my career, to be the way we evaluated performance on most of the employees, including myself as a force supervisor.
Now, you say that sort of our tendency to look at one aspect at a time of forests rather than looking at the ecosystem as a whole, you attribute that to kind of a cultural issue. Can you talk about what you mean there?
Well, I am convinced that the cultural values that the Western society has are actually creating an invisible barrier that is preventing the implementation of sound science. The concept of domination, conquest, and in particular greed, which I interpret as this quest for wealth and affluency, has stood in the way of applying some of the proper scientific data and information that exists. And my concern is that rather than focusing on what we can take from the forest, we need to be focused on managing the forest for health, vigor, and maximizing diversity, and that maximizing diversity is the main tool that's available to us to be able to reduce the risk of these catastrophic events that we're seeing.
So what changes would you like to see? What do you think needs to happen?
First of all, I think the most important thing that has to happen is that we have got to realize and understand that there is a difference between cultures and societies. And this continent had the experience of two cultures coming together that see nature very, very differently. We're losing this sensitivity to be able to read the land, to see this complexity of creation, complexity of nature, complexity of the forests. Our Native American ancestors had that ability, and somehow we've got to encourage a resurrection of those values and wisdom and link it to the science of forestry. What I hope will happen is that we will adopt the concepts of ecology, and we will see then the products from the forest as byproducts of good management, not as the goal of management.
Brian Stout is author of Trees of Life, Our Forests in Peril. Brian, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much.